This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall on ABC Radio.
Hey Rish, last month a house in Toorak sold for $2.75 million above the reserve.
Did you just say 2.75 above the reserve?
That's right. I can't believe it. I mean, you think real estate costs a lot in Toorak, but that is just phenomenal.
So how much would just the price of $2.75 million, which was above the reserve, how many houses in Gippsland would that buy you?
Well, I think the median house price in Churchill is about 240. So if you can do the maths, how many 240s can you fit into 2.75?
A few houses.
And you look around regional Victoria and there's kind of similar, you know, Maroopna's 265 is the median price. Horsham is $300,000. So there's a disparity there, isn't there?
There certainly is. And maybe a little bit of underquoting as well. But the real estate agent said in relation to that property, and I'm quoting here, "We quoted the property in accordance with what the available information was at the time, and it far exceeded that price. There is nothing like a good auction process to determine the market price, and we saw good, strong, spirited bidding today." That's always the reason, though, Jono, isn't it? It's always, oh, well, the market determines the price. It's never anything to do with underquoting.
No. And to an extent, they're right. The market does determine the price, but the real estate agent has control over the reserve and kind of influencing the buyer the seller around what that reserve should be. So there's a lot more to it than that. This has been a problem for years, Rish.
It really has. I can remember looking at trying to buy our first tiny little apartment, you know, decades ago, and underquoting was a problem then. The difference is, though, Jono, and why it feels like it's really ramped up at the moment, is that once underquoting, it was in relation to tens of thousands of dollars. Now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. There was a house in suburban Baldwin just on the weekend that went for over $500,000 over the reserve. So these are huge numbers that people are talking about. But the other thing is, it feels like no matter what is done, there's no way of stopping it.
Well, we changed the laws back in 2017 to kind of toughen up, the laws around underquoting. But that's what we want to know today. Can underquoting be stopped? What do you think would work?
Maybe it's fines for real estate agents. Maybe it's publishing reserves. Is it an easier complaints system for you?
On ABC Radio, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
So I'll put it over to you.
3.3.
At 3.3.
3.4.
At
3.4. You've made some money.
3.450.
100 grand.
Okay.
Well. 3.475.
3.75. It's against you guys.
3.475.
At 4 million. That's the kind of bid I like to see.
What? 4 million!
At $4 million on fairly bid, I'll call it three times.
And there's text here that says, in Rose Street, Armidale, they were quoting $2.9 million. The house sold for $5.8 million from memory. And another text here from Dave in Kilsyth, Jono, that says, to stop underquoting, you can do it by reducing the commission an agent can charge by a certain percentage point for every multiple of, say, $50,000 that they're out of the sale price. We just bought a house and every house we walked into, we said, no way it'll sell for that.
Oh, wow. See, that's really interesting. I like that idea, kind of penalising the real estate agent if they are wrong with their price guide. George is in Port Melbourne. G'day, George.
G'day. About 15 years ago, we sold our home in East Melbourne. We put the property up for auction. Discussions with the real estate agent, we thought, yeah, 1.1, 1.2. When it came to auction day, it started like all auctions do, pretty slack. As soon as it hit 1.2, he said the property is on the market, and then two people fought it out to 1.9. Now, you could argue that that was $700,000 over the reserve, but we had set the reserve at 1.2 and two people really wanted it and fought over it you know, 700,000 over the reserve. So it's not always the real estate agent's fault, and it is sometimes market demand that if you have a property that two people want and they're prepared to fight over it, the seller usually gets a bonus out of that.
George, when you set your reserve, was that price bracket your price, or did the real estate agent advise you on that price?
It was a combination, because we knew what all the properties approximately in East Melbourne were going for at the time, and we thought the place was unrenovated. We did our sums, and we would have, had it been sold at 1.2, we would have been happy with it. Obviously, we were $700,000 happier when it did sell.
Yeah. So you think it's not always the agent's fault, that maybe their line of the market determines the price is real?
Yeah, and certainly everyone came up to us afterwards, after the auction, all the neighbours, because, you know, most auctions are 90% neighbours rather than genuine buyers. And they all shook hands and they said, this is fantastic. We've just upped the value of our property by $500,000 because of what happened at the auction. So
George, not always the fault of the real estate agent, but you look at some of these results. So one Caulfield North property recently sold for $1.56 million despite having a price tag of $1 million to $1.1 million. You're talking about, you know, what seems to be underquoting by about $700,000. There's a case here in Kingsville, house sold for 1.4 when it had a price range of 1 million to 1.1. Now, surely the real estate agents, this is what you pay the money to do, is to set an accurate price, and they're paid to have an accurate knowledge about the market and what the prices are. How can they get it that wrong?
Because you've got demand for the market. You know, we have an interest in real estate, and we go to many auctions, and there are some properties that you look at and think, this is a really nice property, and, you know, the only person that bids for it is the tree out the front. So it depends on who wants the property, the, you know, location, 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 and there are some dynamics on the day that cause some people to want to go and buy and spend a lot of money. I reject your opinion that the real estate agent underquoted by 700,000. He didn't. We sat down and worked out what the other properties had been going for, the fact that the house was unrenovated, the fact that it needed work. Mm. We came to an agreement that 1.2 would be really nice.
Good to hear from you, George. Thank you so much. Michelle's in queue. Michelle, what do you think? Do you agree with George?
Yeah, look, to a degree, I actually think the issue is that the public are of the opinion that real estate agents underquote, and therefore they go to an auction expecting that the price will be $200,000 or whatever above what has been quoted. And so there's this expectation in the public, and it doesn't matter what the agents put on the as their, you know, guide. People will take that guide and go, okay, I need $200,000 more than that. And so it's kind of like the agents are in a no-win situation. We sold our house quite a few years ago, and so we're not currently in the market, but that was my experience at the time everywhere that we went. It just feels like it doesn't matter what agents do. They're not going to be able to stop the underquoting happening.
So does it matter then if, what you're saying, Michelle, is that people kind of expect underquoting. So if we're expecting underquoting, should we care if something is underquoted?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a mixed feeling because my husband and I were buying the last time the market was really hot, and it was really hard for us. Every week it felt like properties went up $50,000, and when we had to keep adjusting our expectations. It feels like when you enter the market, you're on a steep learning curve, and you have to deal with the fact that the market is changing, that people have this expectation of needing to spend more, and you get burnt a little bit, and then you get wise. There's a degree to which I think you can't stop it, and maybe it doesn't matter, but I don't know if there's a way to stop public expecting prices to be more than what the agents quote. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
Well, that's what we're discussing today, Michelle. Thank you for your input. Is there a way that quoting can be understopped? What do you think would work? Fiona is in Lock Sports. G'day, Fiona. What are you thinking?
Hi. My husband and I, over, I don't know, from 2000, say, to 2015, we bought and sold probably 23 properties, purchased and sold probably 16 over that time. So we're interested in real estate. So we're not real estate agents. It's not our careers. It's not whatever. But anyway, what I would say is over all that time, from be it from Coburg, where we sold at auction, to the country where we sold, we're always told by auctioneers, by the agent, who's representing us right from the beginning, so all different people, we're told that don't set reserve, because we were sort of obsessed with reserve. What will the reserve be? And they said, no, we work that out on the day. The marketplace will determine what that reserve is, right? So there was no reserve. So when we say, I'll tell everybody what the reserve is, in our experience, we'd never had a reserve. And in fact, one property we sold a hell of a lot cheaper than we would have had a reserve. So
and I think the connection between the reserve and whether or not a property is being underquoted or not. I mean, there's a text here that says, you know, you're confusing this. The reserve, you know, isn't necessarily what the price is or isn't related to underquoting, but it is to a certain degree in that that's what the purchaser thinks that the house is valued at. There's a text here that says, guys, I'm a 40-year career real estate agent. You're playing to the gallery and you're dumbing down the conversation. The fact is auctions are a reflection of a market, a price guide, whilst 9 times out of 10 are right and they are not a predictor of price. Well, let's put that to John Keating. He's from Keating's Real Estate in Wood End. And even though he's a real estate agent, he has been pushing to stop underquoting for close to 20 years. John, are we dumbing down the conversation here? Are auctions simply just a reflection of market price?
They should be a reflection of market price. And all of these problems of underquoting and its little brother overquoting by agents to vendors to buy the listing, I think can be stopped very simply. If vendors were required to publish their reserve prices, a very simple reform of auction rules would put an end to all the underquoting, and then we'd have the best auction model that would have maximum trust and transparency, and where the price would be set by purchasers competing in a fair, open, transparent process without any artificial price manipulation that now goes on with the agents and the auctioneers.
But the response to that, John, that you quite often hear is what we do is we run an advertising campaign, you know, around selling your house, and after that advertising campaign and after gauging interest in the house and, you know, the number of calls we get and the number of texts and whatever, then on the day of the auction, we'll set the reserve price. So we can't set it any earlier. I mean, do you buy that?
No, I don't buy that. You can set it earlier. And as you mentioned, I've been on this bandwagon crusade for 15, 20 years. And I've now done over 120 auctions where we have set the reserve right at the start. We sit down with the vendor, and most agents that are competent in their area have a fairly good idea of what the value of the property is. These days, they're required to put it on a statement of information on the listing with a range no wider than 10%. So they have a fairly good idea of what it's worth. And if you have discussions with your vendor and work out what the reserve is then and publicise it, the buyers know where they stand. They don't waste their time doing their due diligence of legals, pest and building, etc., etc. And they know that if they go to the auction and or if they go to have a look at the property, if it's within their price range, they bid up to that price. They know that it's going to be on the market at that declared reserve price. If there's others that want the property, they've got to beat them in open, transparent competition.
There's quite a few texts along the lines of, you know, this is a non-issue. The market determines the price. This is a victimless crime is one particular quote here. Yet there were changes that were made. There was a reform back in 2017 to try and stamp out underquoting. So it's actually a big issue for people. But why aren't these rules working?
Well, it's not a victimless crime. There's not hundreds, there's thousands of people being duped right across Melbourne every weekend by agents artificially manipulating, often in cahoots with their vendor, the reserve price. Now, why aren't the new rules working? Well, they're fundamentally flawed because the vendor can change their reserve price any time up to the property's knocked down. In fact, in Victoria, any time up until it's signed up. And a lot of agents are now disguising their underquoting. They're very good with their vocabulary by saying we're step quoting. And they work in conjunction with their vendors, often, not always, and say, look, what we've got to do is underquote to get people interested in the property. And then after the first week, when we have a lot more inquiry and people at the open for inspections, we revise that up a little bit.
Watch them low and watch them grow. Is that the, yeah. What's the quote?
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, too many agents within agencies, young agents, are trained. That's the way you've got to go about it. Now, there's no need to have that deceitful training within our profession. We're supposed to be a profession and we strive for integrity.
Yeah, there's a quote. There's a text here saying underquoting on housing is supposed to swell the numbers at the auction. Then everybody sees what's going on. So doesn't that actually, I mean, as a sales technique, it works, doesn't it? Because if you've got more people at an auction, there's more competition, the house price goes up. So what do you think needs to be put in place to make sure underquoting is weeded out?
Well, it's perceived to go up. As I said, there's thousands of people every weekend in Melbourne, every week, being duped by underquoting. If the reserve price is set at a realistic amount, and it will be set realistically because the agent, in conjunction, in talking with his vendor, the vendors won't want to waste their advertising, which can vary from $2,000 to $20,000 or up to $50,000, if they're going to set their reserve prices too high above the market. Now, if the market does drive the property above the reserve price, yes, that's fair market, transparent competition. I mean, I did an auction back in 2005 where we had a reserve, a very high reserve, $4,625,000, and that was set on the basis of two very competent valuers. One was paid $6,000 to do the job, one was $8,000. We sold that auction under the hammer with very spirited bidding for $8,175,000. Oh, so we were $3.5 million over the reserve.
So I guess that does prove then, John, someone that's been campaigning, you know, against underquoting, that maybe there is some truth in, on the day, if someone's willing to pay a cool $8 million for a property that's been advertised at $4 million, then the market does determine.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Yeah. But if the reserve is publicised, those who think they could buy it at lower figures because of underquoting, they're having their time wasted.
Yeah. I think that's what frustrates a lot of people.
Absolutely. It's disgraceful.
Just finally, John, we know that, and we invited them to be a part of today's show, but they weren't able to join us. But the Consumer Affairs Victoria did conduct an unannounced campaign, so visits to offices of 29 metropolitan and regional real estate agents to try and monitor compliance with Victoria's underquoting laws and the Australia Consumer Law. They haven't yet been able to review that material and enforce any action that may be required. But do we need to see more things like Consumer Affairs doing unannounced visits to monitor whether or not underquoting is occurring?
The difficulty, the rules are fundamentally flawed, as I mentioned before, because the vendors can change their time, reserve prices any time. The other thing is the rules are too easily manipulated. And for Consumer Affairs to enforce them, they would need to employ licensed valuers who would need to inspect the comparable properties and physically inspect them. Looking at the website advertising for the property or driving past the front, you can't get an idea of what the property is like. And it's too easy for the comparable sales to be manipulated. And Consumer Affairs just haven't got the budget to be able to employ experienced qualified valuers to check the comparables. So it's just not working. And everybody's afraid of the idea of very simple rule change to require reserve prices to be published. That would fix the problem instantly.
Well, thank you so much for that idea and your time, John. John Keating from Keating's Real Estate in Woodend. And just a text here saying, Kyneton prices are absolutely crazy at the moment. Well, look, I think they pretty much are everywhere. Chris is in Ashburton, however. Morning, Chris. How are you going? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are I've sold a property recently and my experience was the opposite, where I was given to expect that I could get a certain price for an apartment. And, you know, they're looking at the sort of sales history of similar apartments in the area that seemed to be sort of the price that we were, you know, was I could expect. We went with a advertised price of, you know, in the range that I was quoted. I was quoted sort of 680s, sort of what I could expect, and we went in the range of marketing was sort of 650 to 680. At the end of the day, we had no interest.
Right.
And I ended up selling privately. We didn't go to auction. We ended up selling privately for the bottom end of the scale. And I know that, you know, I've been monitoring the other properties that were for sale at a similar price at the time, and all those prices have now come down and some of those properties are still on the market.
Gosh, so, it really just shows you how individual it can be, and yes, the advice that you're given and how trusting we are, you know, once in your life if you're lucky.
The thing is that I think what agents do when they quote is they look at comparable properties and what they've been selling for in the sort of previous 3 to 6 months, and they give you the average based on that. So if you have a big spike in the market, the average won't reflect what the future price is going to be.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, Chris, thank you for your call. And this is what we're paying agents for, isn't it? This is why they get so handsomely compensated, is their knowledge of the market. They've got to know what properties are selling for in that neighbourhood. Kerry is in Toorak. Morning, Kerry. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. Yes, it's good to hear John Kenning speaking about reserve prices. I think that a great many people misunderstand the dynamics of the actual auction process itself. There are fundamentally three parties that are involved: the vendor, who has a vested interest in the higher price, the agent who's paid to service the vendor, and then, of course, the buyer who wishes to buy at the lease price. All of those particular dynamics are in opposition with each other. It is absolutely impossible to predict what is a third unknown party is going to do in 1 month's time when they are bidding on a property that they are trying to buy at the cheapest price. So
Kerry, that third factor, and we all, I think, agree with that, that at the end of the day, someone's got the money and they've got the will and the want to purchase a property and they can pay whatever they can, then you can't price that in. But why is it at the moment, if you've got 40 years experience in this, why at the moment does it seem like it's just so out of control? And it seems like it's every property and it's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars above what somebody was told they should expect to get for that property.
I think there are two main reasons for that. One is the price of money, the amount of money that people can borrow, and what's happening internationally. The auction system is not generally practiced overseas, particularly in America, but we are finding that in the American scenario, at present, people are overbidding on properties that are up for private sale. And where John was talking before about setting the reserve, I think that's a very good place to start. Because if one went back to the days before auctions were de rigueur, the vendor, the agent would agree on a price. That would be the advertised price. And generally speaking, the price that was achieved, if not necessarily was the price that the vendor wanted, it was generally below that. That situation is now reversed. So I sense that the dynamics of the availability of money is having a huge influence on what people buy.
There is a lot to take into account here. And as you say, people have competing interests when it comes to a transaction like this. But I'm wondering if you agree with Kerry from Toorak there, that it is just impossible to quote a reserve price before the day of the auction. Mm. Now, let's go to Terence, who's in Ballarat. You're a real estate agent. What's your experience?
Yeah, I guess my experience around the whole idea of underquoting is, like, I can honestly say from my first day in real estate, with the first thing they teach you when you go through and do all the education that you need to become one is all around the limitations that you have to do when developing your statement of information, which every residential property needs to have when it goes to market, whether that be for private sale or for auction. And the limitations that we have around that is that within Metro Melbourne, it's like the distances can sometimes be a block, whereas in regional Victoria, we have up to a 5K radius. And any agent worth his salt won't use that full 5K radius because each individual suburb's so different. And so then when you have a look at what's happened previously in the market around what things have sort of sold for, like how far we can go back can only be, can be up to 6 months. And so when you... Yeah.
No, sorry. I'm just thinking then, Terence, so is it even possible to set laws in place to stop underquoting? If the market just changes and is so dynamic and it moves so quickly, whether it's fines to agents or, you know, another text here says, what about going back to private sales only, no auctions? Is it actually impossible to set up a body or a framework of laws that you have to abide by to stop underquoting?
I don't think it's like the laws are there and they're good because it helps keep the market one free and somewhat reliable. I think the whole idea of this conversation's come up with what house prices are going for now. Like, have a look at what we were going through 12 months ago. Like, the market was really, like, it was flat. There was nothing that was happening. Prices weren't going up, they weren't going down, they were staying the same. And then we'd come out of this global pandemic where the banks were during the pandemic, so to speak, even though we're still in there, like, you had the big bank saying that property prices were going to drop by 30% and all that. And then the market's done this incredible thing where it's just picked up so much speed so quickly that the information the agents are using is valid up until a certain point. And so what I think that we'll start seeing now is that the properties that will come up into the market in spring and whatnot, the prices that they'll be using and the properties they'll be using as comparable prices will be at a higher sales price than what they were due that we're seeing now. The big thing that, and I dare say in about 6 months' time, the conversation that we'll be having is, why is real estate so overpriced compared to what people are able to buy?
Gosh, we've been having that conversation forever and it just keeps going up and up and up. Terence, really good to get your thoughts as well. Tom's in Roeville. Hi, Tom.
G'day, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'd like to talk about first home buyers and just how stressful it can be and you know, juggling geography, little kids at times, and then agents who are routinely, selling a proposition of an affordable price and then, you know, going to auction, getting blown out, or even private sales. And then along, you know, we were trying for years and 2.5 years ago, there was a little lull in the market. And my wife said to me, you know, this would be great. This is close to my dream home. And I said, well, we're never going to be able to afford it. It's 820 to 870 and it's going to go for 950, you know. So we walked away. I didn't barely contacted the agent. That was it. I'd forgotten about it until I got a call to say, hey, we don't have any buyers. Are you interested in the property? And I all of a sudden had to scramble because we were able to pick it up at an affordable price after all. So it doesn't always work. And in fact, we, you know, if it was an accurate appraisal in the first place, we would have stayed in the interested category.
Well, this is the problem with underquoting, is it just sets unrealistic expectations. Tom, thank you so much for telling us your story. Let's have a chat with Professor Hal Pawson now. He is a housing policy expert with the City Futures Research Centre at the University of New South Wales. Good morning. Is it possible to legislate so that underquoting just doesn't happen?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I think it's an extremely difficult thing to regulate this. I don't know what the answer is, really, because especially in a situation where the market is changing so fast, as your couple of callers back, your agent who you were just talking to there, as he was pointing out, I mean, the increase we've seen in prices over the last 6 months has, you know, been, you know, almost beyond any precedent in the past. And when you're in a market like that, it's even harder to, you know, to be realistic or to and especially to kind of to regulate that in any way. So, yeah, I think it's pretty difficult.
Lots of ideas around fines. Who should the fines be geared towards? I mean, obviously the real estate agent is front and centre there, but when we're talking about some of the huge numbers and properties are selling after a couple of days of being on the market now, well, real estate agents, if that was the case, just kind of build the fine into the price to a certain degree? You know, I mean, that often happens when people go, well, I'll just cop the fine, you know, whatever, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think we ought to step back, take a step back from this and think about the capacity, the training, and the skills of the real estate industry here. And I think so. I mean, that comes back to the way that fair trading or consumer affairs departments regulate the whole sector. And I mean, obviously there's an established framework in place for that, but I think there's probably more that could be done to improve that.
Is it possible to bypass agents altogether and just, you know, sell it yourself or sell it via social media?
Well, I mean, we do hear more of these reports in the media about first home or people who want to be first home buyers, you know, trying to find a way of bypassing the agent process entirely. And I mean, I think especially at the moment, now that we've got a very obviously real surge of investors coming back into the market. So with first home buyers being up against that kind of competition, in a way now, which is kind of going back to the pre-pandemic situation, we had the best part of a year when investor demand was very subdued and first home buyers were really dominating the market, or there were more of them than investors in the market. We've gone back now to an investor-led market. And I think in that situation, I think, you know, first-time people who want to be first-time buyers are, frustrated and feeling that maybe there's a way of playing on the sympathies of some potential home vendors, people who don't have their property on the market yet, but, you know, they've started to think about maybe selling. And so you have had, I have seen these reports in the media about people leafleting their neighbourhoods in New Zealand as well as in Australia. And looking to try to to try and make contact with people who might be thinking about putting their property on the market. They haven't done so yet, and for them, well, I mean, there's an agent's fee that they might avoid.
Yeah,
by,
that's right.
By doing that,
we're actually going to look at, there is a rising trend, believe it or not, in people at least listing their homes on forms of social media and new platforms of social media.
Yeah.
So I'd be fascinated to hear from people if they are considering that, or maybe they've done that. But thinking of those alternatives, and hell, there was a period about 20 years ago where I was hearing anecdotally of people popping notes into people's letterboxes and saying, hey, if you ever think about selling, here's my number, trying to bypass. And if you remember back even longer ago, it wasn't that uncommon to occasionally, at least where I grew up in regional Vic, to have almost like a picket sign in your front fence that said, for sale, you know, inquire within. Are we going to start to see these sort of alternatives?
Well, I mean, some people might be attracted to that, but I don't think that it will ever, I think that this kind of security of having a professional agent taking care of the process, who knows all of the legal and regulatory hurdles that you need to jump, and having a kind of framework for establishing a price that, you know, an open auction is the normal way of doing that. I think all of those things are still going to be very attractive to most people who are selling properties. So it's possible that the kind of practice that you're talking about might come back in a bigger way, but I think it will still be a niche activity.
And just before we let you go, Professor Hal Pawson, I mean, you spoke about people leafleting around the neighbourhoods to garner some interest, and then also about, you know, that whole, just putting a sign on your front lawn. But are we going to see more properties sold on social media, do you think?
Well, I mean that is the trend for I think that's highly likely that we will see more of that, because that's how every aspect of life is increasingly lived, isn't it? So yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But what I think is something that I haven't heard, I don't think it's come up in this conversation so far, is other ways that people can think. Admittedly niche ways, but there are other ways that young people or people looking to get into a form of home ownership can do so, that are like using different models. So there's and all of these three things that I'm going to mention operate in Victoria or in Melbourne. So there's the model called the Nightingale model, which is a kind of cooperative form of home ownership, where a group of probably friends or people who are brought together because they're all looking to get a foothold in home ownership. They club together and they commission an architect who takes care of commissioning a building on their behalf that they design. And that's Nightingale tag, and that's something that you can look up on the internet and you can discover a bit more about what it is. Is a model for doing that now has a governance structure attached to it, a legal model that is I think an interesting development that might expand in the future. And then there's a different approach called which goes under the title rent to buy.
We're seeing a big jump in interest in that, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a group called there's a company called Assemble Communities, which I think there may be others, but that's one which is leading the charge. In Melbourne, where the resident can buy their home after being a secure tenant for 5 years.
And that's something that we've seen in other countries for long periods of time. I guess the silver lining in this conversation could be that maybe some really interesting alternatives, and maybe we'll see friends or family selling to each other, and whether it be social media or looking at new ways to do it. It's been great to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Professor Hal Rawson, or Pawson, I should say, he's a housing policy expert with City Futures Research Centre at the University of New South Wales. This text is from Brett in Cheltenham, Jono, and it says, I've been seeing a few tweets from people that have either bought or sold properties on Gumtree or through social media without an agent. I just wonder how risky that would be. If you're handing over your deposit, you'd want to know that's fair income,
It's probably the biggest transaction that you'll make in your life.
Your entire life, of course.
So I think that's partly why people like real estate agents so much, because they comfort them. They say, this is okay, I do this all the time, I know all the rules.
It gives you some protection.
Exactly. And the other thing that real estate agents are paid to do really well is advertising and marketing, is to market your house and get the best price for you. But I guess if you feel comfortable and confident in doing that yourself, then you can just go your own way.
We've got Bruce in Albury. Hi, Bruce.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a very keen observer and albeit a small participant in both rural and residential property. And I was very interested to hear what John Keating said, and I wouldn't disagree with anything that he said. But, look, I think what needs to be considered here is property valuations are a very, very inexact science. And whilst there's no doubt that agents underquote and overquote, you can have a property valued at a certain figure and go to auction, it makes considerably more than that. And the reason for that is that a lot of properties don't sell for what they're worth, but what someone is really prepared to pay for it, irrespective of what it goes to, so long as they've got the funding.
Bruce, can I ask you a question, though? Would you sell your house on Facebook or on Instagram?
No, I wouldn't. I would use an agent, because I believe that they provide a very professional service, albeit that there are flaws in the system. But agents can smooth out a lot of problems that otherwise you can have. But, of course, like everything else, you've got to be very, very careful which agent you choose. But I'd just like to mention a couple of things, and I think the issues that need to be also considered is supply and demand. And I believe at the present time there's a fair bit of panic buying because people feel that they're missing out. And the fact that interest rates are so low virtually puts
prices
anyone into
going
the
crazy.
Market.
Bruce, great to hear from you as well. Thank you so much. But maybe we can bypass agents altogether. Have you popped a sign in your front yard? Have you sold it on social media? Or maybe you're considering it or looking at some different way, some form of a private sale.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio.
Jono, would you ever put a sign in your front yard for sale, inquire with him?
I'm a little bit nervous about that. I am a bit, you know, because the only time I've ever bought it, I've never sold a house, but the only time I've ever bought a house is through a real estate agent. So, and I think people get comfortable with it. As I was saying before, it's just a matter of comfort. It's what you're used to.
I know, but then desperate times call for desperate measures and people try to think outside the box. Shane Wallace is from WorkUp. He's the CEO and founder of WorkUp, which is basically like a new social media platform. Shane, people trying to sell their homes on WorkUp?
Absolutely. G'day, guys. Yeah, we've seen a massive spike in it basically from the start of this year. Like that Bruce fella mentioned, you know, the supply and demand thing, all of our lives have taken a different direction since the global shutdown, and I think that's what's increased the demand against the supply.
And so, initially people were like me and they were really worried about selling something so big like their house online. How do you comfort them? What do you tell them about the process?
Well, look, I think, we don't tell them anything with WorkUp. It's a free platform that gives you access to the market. But I think we've become smart as people with platforms like Google. It's easy to do your research on what properties are selling for in your area. You know, there's a lot of money to be saved if you put it on the market at your asking price and you get it. And all you need to do is involve conveyancers and lawyers at the end so that you're not having to do it yourself. It's easy to do. It's professional. And I don't think there's a big risk if you involve the pros at the end.
I guess that's the thing. You definitely have to do your due diligence. You know, there's no snap kind of last minute purchase when you're talking about buying a house. It's not like buying a pair of shoes and then discovering that shoe company has gone under. You know, this is a house. You need to know what you're buying is there and real.
But we've been talking about getting the prices right this morning and how we pay real estate agents to have a knowledge of the market so that they can set the right price. But if you're not a real estate agent, I mean, that would be a big decision. What if you set the price too low?
Well, all you got to do is jump on RP data. I mean, it's like I say, we've become a lot smarter. All the information's there for you. You can go and have a look at the median price of your property within your area. You can decide, well, listen, I think this is what it's worth. And you can have a crack by just putting it on the free platforms to begin with.
What sort of numbers of properties are you seeing? How many houses, like, week?
Hundreds.
Hundreds
come and go. I mean, some of them, you know, you see them for a while, and others you see them for a few weeks and they're gone. And then you can only assume that they've done the deal or that they've got... I mean, we don't capture the data on what they sold it for or whether they sold it.
Not taking cuts, no, unfortunately.
But why wouldn't you have a crack? I mean, if you're going to save 30 grand and you're undecided and let's just say the property was worth 600 and you thought, you know what, I'm going to throw it up to 650 and see how I go. And next minute, like Bruce said, they're selling above the price. You know,
this
the real
is a good
estate
point,
agent would have
though,
cut you out.
Shane. I mean, a lot of what you're saying makes sense, but Judy in Mount Eliza says, yeah, but selling your house through social media leaves you open to people going through your home that are not vetted by an agent. You'd be expecting opening your home to strangers that may not always be genuine. Although Judy in Mount Eliza, I must say, if our house is open for inspection in my street, I'm popping in. I'm not buying. Let's just say that.
it's an interesting point to make, isn't it? Because I reckon it's also convenience as to why people do go with real estate agents. They just think that they can, you know, take care of all those little details. They can answer the calls. They can be available, you know, when people want to call them. It's just kind of convenient, isn't it?
Well, look, there's no undenying that real estate agents supply a fantastic service. You know, I've bought and sold from real estate agents as well. The times have changed and people are looking to get every, you know, bit of money in their pocket they can. And 30 grand is a lot to save.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting, Shane. Thank you. Shane Wallace is the CEO and founder of WorkUp. Well, Simon Molyneux is from Dingley. Simon, have you tried to buy or sell your house online?
What I did, I have that particular app on my phone. And they have a category there, which is real estate. So I sort of thought I'd just dip my toe in the water and see what sort of response I got through putting it on this sort of free platform, you know. And took some photographs myself, put it online, put it on that app. And I was pleased with the response. I mean, I did get I got a response. I mean, this was a couple of months ago now, and I got responses to the ads that I put on there, which was not so much. I was pleased with the response. Put it that way.
Okay, and then what happened next?
Well, like I say, it was just dipping my toe in the water. The house. I wanted to see if this sort of app actually worked, and it did because I got a response. So people are looking at it, and it. With it being free, that was the... It didn't cost me anything to do that. You know what I mean? Where if I'd have gone through an estate agent, there would have been a charge. So I just dipped my toe in the water. The house is going on the market again in about 6 months' time with proper photographs being done and that sort of thing. Because at the end of the day, I think... Is his name Shane? Sorry, the guy that you spoke to then. I can save $30,000, $40,000.
How did you go about sort of vetting it, like taking all, like Jono said, you know, the all of the work behind it, all of the admin behind selling a house? You know, I've called agents at times that are inappropriate, you know, Sunday mornings and, you know, I'm painting a really nice picture of myself here. But, you know, you've got to manage all of this stuff and you don't know whether somebody actually wants to buy your home or not.
Well, yeah, but that's to say, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to take people at face value. You know, you put it on there, you vet them on the phone, you see if they're serious, they'll come around. And then you gauge it from that. I mean, you're always going to be there when you're showing people around your property anyway. I mean, you know, people aren't going to turn up just to have a look, are they? So, you know what I mean?
Well, Rish does. I think Rish turns up just to have a look.
I think she just mentioned that, didn't she? Yeah.
She did. It does sound stressful, though. I mean, I've never sold a house without an agent, so I don't really know what that's like. But they do take a fair bit of the stress out of it, don't they?
I suppose they do, but if you're quite organised, I mean, there's nothing that an agent that you can't do yourself through independent valuers, a legal team, all that sort of thing. You know, so I mean, if you're pretty organised, I mean, and again, it comes down to the money you can save. For me, I mean, that if I can save $30,000, $40,000, you know, I've got a couple of kids that want to get onto the property market, and that, you know, I can give them a helping hand with the money that I save. It's an option. That's what I'm saying. It's an option. It's a new option, and it's a different option.
And it's a growing option. Simon, yeah, thanks so much. It's been interesting to hear from you. Simon Molyneux in Dingley, okay. An option for you. Hey, here's a great option. This is from Wendy. I love this. I think, Wendy, we should be friends. I sold a house by walking into my local cafe and yelling out, "Is there somebody in here who would like to buy a house in this area?" In Yarraville. I want to sell mine. No agent needed. All that's needed is a good conveyancer. Real estate agents don't need to do anything except stress you out. I sold my house in one day for a top price. That's from Wendy.
Good on you, Wendy. That's fantastic. I hope, I mean, she sounds really happy with what she's done, but would there always be a bit of a nagging thought in your mind, did I get a good price for this? Did I do the right research? Did I set the right price? Did I tick all the boxes? You know, did I do this correctly? I'm in awe of people like Wendy who are just confident in their skills.
Ned, although, has, I guess, similar to what you were just saying, we attempted to sell without an agent just after the 2008 crash. We started off with three very interested parties, all of whom had never had trouble borrowing before. And because we didn't have the agent's advice to rely on, we took the first lot and their word. 5 weeks went by. We still chased them for the money. All of our other buyers in the meantime had bought elsewhere. We ended up losing out big time. The stress involved is enormous. It's not worth it. We'd never do it again. That's from
there
Ned.
There you go. That's a cautionary tale. Mara is in Ballarat. G'day, Mara. What's your experience?
I had a very, very positive experience selling my house in Melbourne through social media, word of mouth, and I love Wendy's approach. I think
Wendy's a chick that gets stuff done just quietly, yes. Is all I can say.
I think you just need to be confident. I had the oracle at my fingertips. It was easy to do research. I used the conveyancer. I made sure I had a Section 32 in my hand. I loved showing people through my house. I loved being able to tell them things and to value things that I could clearly see. The real estate agents that I had through could not value. They had underquoted my house severely. They compared it to my neighbouring houses, as you do, but the neighbouring houses, which which I know extremely well as they were all neighbours I knew, had not had any of the renovations we'd had, and the agent couldn't seem to see that at all. So because as someone who lives sustainably, the environmental renovations aren't your sort of archetypal big bathroom renovation. It's things like...
You were early on the game then, Mara, in terms of adopting to a new technique, given that you did this, 6 years ago?
Yes, I'd heard someone else had done it, and the moment I heard someone else had done it, I just went, that's it, that's the model for me. So I was quoted $600,000 and I sold it for $820,000. I was extremely happy with that. I mean, in every situation, you could say, what if? But the thing is, you can say that as well if you're using a real estate agent, because I really think that it is so easy to do in today's world. And you've got Google at your fingertips, or whatever search engine you use at your fingertips. It is so easy to find out how to do things these days.
Good on you, Mara. Thank you for your story. And Mary is in Sandringham. She sold a house without an agent. How did you go, Mary?
I went really well, thank you. A friend of mine said to me, if you ever want to sell, I'd be interested in buying. So I was interested in selling, and she bought it. We both got independent valuations, and we just used the solicitors at the end, and it was as easy as pie.
And it didn't get awkward?
No.
What about when you visit now? Do you say, well, look, the couch normally looks better in that other position?
It's weird, actually. I have been in there once. It's a really weird feeling, but it was really easy, and it was great. So I saved quite a bit of money.
Any qualms, Mary? Did you have any doubts about the process or regrets?
No, because we both went into it. We both knew what we wanted. And the independent, she got a quote from some independent valuer, and I got one from another company, and I got $20,000 more than they quoted.
There you go. You've done well.
And it's always nice too, you know, if a house is special to you, and you know, this is the thing, this is not about money. These are homes. These are places that we love and cherish. And you quite often hear when someone purchases a home, oh, I hope a nice person, or I hope a nice family, or I hope somebody is going to love this house as much as me buys it. And at least you had that part guaranteed, didn't you?
Yes, it was really, really good, and we're still friends, so that's even better.
You've come out on top, Mary. Thank you for that. Thank you. Rish, that reminds me, when you were just talking there, it reminds me of The Castle. You know that bit where he's saying, I think I've overcapitalised here? We should have played that little grab.
Don't get me started on quotes from The Castle. Wait, I could be here all day. If you've missed the beginning of this program, or maybe you think a friend or a family member would like to listen to it, the best thing to do is subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast. That way, new episodes will just automatically upload for you, so you can go to the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we've done quite a few programs on housing, Jono, whether it be locals being pushed out of their areas, or affordability for first home buyers, rent vesting, you name it. So if you've liked today's show and this is the first time you've heard our program, there are lots of other shows that we've done around housing.
Quick question. Would you now be confident to sell a house without using an agent?
I reckon I would, but I'm pretty bolshy. And so, you know, I think I would. But it really depends on how much time you've got. And, you'd need a good lawyer. Absolutely.
We've heard both sides of the story. People saying it's just too stressful. It's not worth it. And other people saying, why wouldn't you? You save $30,000 at least. Because agents take between, 1.5% and 3.5% of the sale price. I don't know. The jury's still out. I'm sitting on the fence, Rish. I don't know if I could do it.
No, well, that's okay, Jono. Your home is gorgeous and you can just stay put. You can always email us as well, conversationhour@abc.net.au. This has been The Conversation Hour. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to spending time with you soon.